Hey, everybody, Scott Bischoff coming to you for Detroit Lions Podcast. While we're well into the free agency period, we are getting there. We're making our way into April. This is recorded mid to late March. We have lots of free agent moves that the Lions have made. And what we're going to talk about today is we're going to discuss what that does for their draft plan. So hang right there, coming right after the break.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
I'm trying to think of a good way to describe the feelings of what the Lions have pulled off in free agency to this point. And they've really, you know, the Lions are in a good place. They've done a lot in free agency. I think more than people would have anticipated. And also some of the names, so just breaking it down, it's very clear that Brad Holmes was concerned about the defensive back room. Last year was a tale of two seasons when it comes to what the defense was, how the defense played. And some of it was good. You know, the back half of the season, the defense played significantly better than the first half of the season. I think there's a specific way they want to play, but they didn't necessarily have the personnel after injuries last year. So Tracy Walker goes down, and it takes away some of the versatility, some of the split safety stuff they wanted to pull off. Again, you've added Cam Sutton. Really good player, very versatile player. Emmanuel Mosley's coming off an ACL tear, played for the 49ers. He is one of those, just for lack of having a great way to describe him, there's some risk that comes with him as a player just because you don't know totally how he recovers. But if he does, he's a really good player, a very, very good cornerback. And then one of the surprises of free agency was them finding a way to stumble into C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who just an excellent football player, a really interesting fit in that locker room. I'll just tell you, as a player, it seems like he really pisses off wide receivers, and I'm not sure if that's a component of his play style, his physicality, perhaps him yapping, perhaps a combination of all of those things. It doesn't matter what component of it is that seems to get receivers off their game with him, but he's really good at it. And then they brought back C.J. Moore, and they brought back Will Harris. So when you look at Harris, I think that's a depth signing at this point. C.J. Moore is a special teams player. You've added Cam Sutton, Gardner Johnson, and Emmanuel Mosley, and you throw them in the mix with Jeff Okuda and Jerry Jacobs, and it looks really good. Now, we'll get to what it means for the draft. I'm just trying to sum up the free agency moves that they've made. So obviously they've remade the entire defensive back room, and Lions fans should be super excited about these signings. They brought back Alex Anzalone. I would say, you paid a good amount of money for him coming back. The nice thing about what it does with him coming back is it keeps things on track. So, how the defense looked in the second half of the season. And you know how Anzalone kind of fit that up, making your defensive calls and doing everything to get them in the right alignments and positions and all those things, but more importantly is it gives you a level of normalcy and consistency with the players that you've got playing next to him. So smart signing, I don't think it's a high impact kind of a move, but it's a very important one for what the Lions do on defense. You brought back Isaiah Bugs, interior defensive tackle. Very smart move. He and Aleem McNeil play well together. You need to have a rotation with those big guys inside. You just do. Even if you add one in the draft, you still need a rotation. You need quality players and quality people. I don't think anybody could ever say that you could use less quality people, in any situation. Bugs is a good player. Smart to bring him back. John Kaminsky comes back. Very underrated signing. Very underrated player. The Lions, just simply put, the Lions are a better defense with him on the field than they are with him off the field. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything from, him being super productive or any of those things. He's just one of those glue guys. He was one of those guys I think was important to bring back. I'm going to include this part. You restructured, redid, or perhaps even forced Charles Harris and Romeo Okwara to take pay cuts, however you want to look at it. They saved some money with both of those contracts and kept them around. Those guys are good depth pieces. They're in a situation where you've got some injury problems, they're fine. Quality depth pieces. You signed interior offensive lineman Graham Glasgow. It's a really interesting signing. I think that I look at him as a quality depth player at both center and guard. So, does he replace Evan Brown? Yeah, it looks like Glasgow is your Evan Brown backup depth replacement player for multiple positions. But he can also start for you and play at a fairly high... He can play well enough that there should be no issues with him if he starts for you at right guard. Another, a very good signing. And then that brings us to David Montgomery. I really, really am intrigued at what he's going to look like running behind the Detroit Lions offensive line. I know there's a desire not to draft running backs anymore, and you don't pay running backs and all these things. And, it is clearly not the most efficient way to get production from the running back position to pay a running back. But you know what you're getting. David Montgomery is a very good running back. There was a comment that Ben Johnson made last year about wanting to turn four and six yard runs into 8 or 9 yard runs if they could just break a tackle kind of thing. Montgomery is going to force tons of missed tackles. Now, he's not going to run away from you. He's not going to run away. He's not going to get into the second level and then bust off, 50 plus yard runs like DeAndre Swift did at times. That's just not his game. But what he is going to do is, you're going to have your run scheme, especially when we're talking about running power. He's gonna allow blocks to get set up, and he's going to run tight, and he's going to run, behind his blockers. He's very efficient and effective runner. I'm excited about his addition. I know losing Jamal Williams sucks. It just does. But the reality is Montgomery's a better player than Jamal Williams is. So that's where they are. That's who they've signed in free agency to this point. So there's still some moves that they could make. There's DJ Chark is still kind of hanging out there. The interesting thing about what they've done to this point is they haven't, nobody they've signed is blocking them from doing anything. So in some ways, the way we have to look at the draft is we almost have to, I know they've signed a bunch of guys, and I didn't include kicker, no offense, but a lot of times in free agency, teams go out and they spend big money. So then you cross those needs off the board when it comes to the draft. But I think it's exactly the opposite for where the Lions are. You know, you have pick six, you have pick 18. When I look at needs and the potential for the things they could do at six or even in a trade down situation, obviously, you know, we've talked about quarterback and we're going to continue to talk about quarterback. To me, you've got, I mean, there's a bunch of options where you could just say, okay, that's cool. Anthony Richardson to me is a dynamic, you know, obviously he's got to get to his ceiling as a player, but he might have the most upside of any player in this draft. And we've been over this. Hendon Hooker is another player I think that probably is going to get drafted higher than people right now are thinking. I would expect him to go right around the mid part of round one. So those are your, you know, if the Lions decide they want to get aggressive, you know, maybe you take a quarterback at six. Maybe you take Hendon Hooker at 18. The other possibility is you trade up. And I know that sounds nuts, but, you know, Brad Holmes and the Rams have done the trade away their picks game multiple times before. So, I mean, it's possible that the Lions do that. And you know, we'll see. Wide receivers is a need that not a lot of people are talking about. But, you know, one of the things that's happened over the last few years is that the receiver position has started to kind of dominate the market. So you're looking at wide receivers getting paid tons of money to play in the NFL. So as the running back position has faded from a money standpoint, the wide receiver position has boomed. So you're seeing huge contracts go out to receivers all over the place. And one of the ways that you can kind of deal with that is to get production from receivers on rookie deals. So obviously that's happening already. The Lions have Amon-Ra St. Brown on a rookie contract. He is one of the most, he may be the biggest bargain in the NFL for his production, for what they're paying him. You have Jameson Williams on a rookie deal. You're going to have to pay guys like Penei Sewell. There are contracts coming up. So one of the ways that you can help yourself is to get production on a player on a rookie contract. So when I think about what the Rams have done in the past with Jared Goff, I look at the Rams with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and as good as those guys were, they still traded multiple early picks. I think it was multiple early picks for Brandon Cooks in 2018. I think it was 2018. And he had an 80-catch, 1,000-yard-plus season. He didn't score a lot of touchdowns, but still, they had two elite route-running options in Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and they swung for the fences and went for the vertical option. The Lions have one elite route-running option in Amon-Ra St. Brown. They have the vertical option already in Jameson Williams. So when you look around and you see a player like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I don't know about you guys, but the idea of adding him to this offense is super intriguing. And I think, yes, you would have two slot options, but that's okay. Jared Goff is a player who needs to be able to trust his receivers to run routes and be exactly where they're supposed to be. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the best route runner in this draft. He is intriguing. Now, with this whole video, I'm just posing possibilities of positions they may address using their round one picks. I'm likely to be wrong about a lot of stuff, but we'll continue. I don't think Quentin Johnston fits perfectly for where the Lions are, but it's undeniable that he is a very big X outside receiver. I don't know that he's going to demand coverage in the way that some, you know, big receivers do, but he's a big straight line fast route runner. I don't think he is the player that we're talking about so much as a wide receiver in round one, although I can see it. I think you're looking at Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think you're looking a player like Jordan Addison, I think fits really well with the way he runs routes. And just looking at the mold, the Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp mold. It's not so much about the 40. It's about running efficient, sharp routes and creating separation early in your routes to get the ball out on time. So Jordan Addison, I think, you know, I know it's early at pick 18, but still, he's a very good player. This is more just about the receiver position and how I think that they might address it, and it may surprise some people. Josh Downs is another one. I think he's more of a round two option, but another player like that where smaller, very efficient route runner, reliable, all those things. I don't want to talk about the tight end position because I don't want to piss everybody off, but I love Darnell Washington's game, and I do think he is everybody sit down. Because I'm gonna say something and everybody needs. He's Rob Gronkowski like. He is an extra offensive tackle on the field who's a freaky athlete. I would totally understand it, although I know that most everybody else who are Lions fans would get very upset. I would get it. I love him as a player. Offensive line is an interesting. It's an interesting exercise in thought. So the Lions have Penei Sewell playing right tackle and Taylor Decker playing left tackle, and that's fine for now. But if you're in a position where things haven't fallen exactly the greatest, and, you know, you feel a little bit forced with a pick, is Peter Skoronski a horrible option at pick six? I would say it's not a great option, and it's not even necessarily the player I would be thinking about for where the Lions are. I'm thinking about more like pick 18 and a player like Darnell Wright from Tennessee. I think we would all be a little bit flustered with them going, you know, offensive line at six. But if you go Darnell Wright, and again, I'm talking more in a trade way back or at pick 18 scenario, Darnell Wright is a right tackle from Tennessee. He is a big, huge dude with long arms and a great anchor, all of that stuff. But the nice thing about what you can do with him, if you take him at, let's say, 18, and it's not easy to do this, but can he play inside? And with his mass and size, I think you could do that in a one-year type of scenario. And then eventually you've got Darnell Wright as a right tackle, and you eventually move Penei Sewell to play left tackle when Taylor Decker gets to the point where you may not want to extend him for more money, or you might want to move on. Darnell Wright is a monster. I think he's right in that range at 18 where he may be gone. But still, he's, you know, stay tuned because I'm going to make another video about his matchup with Will Anderson from Alabama and talk specifically about that. So watch that one after this one. He's a really good player, and he's an interesting option. So that's on offense. There are other offensive linemen. You know, I'm not sure that any of them are players who. I mean, you're not taking an offensive lineman at 18 and not playing them. So they have to have some inside out flexibility, you know, to them. So that's kind of it there. So let's go to defense. So on defense, you have multiple edge options. Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech is a very intriguing player. He would be more of a closed defensive end as opposed to on the other side of the defensive line from where Aiden Hutchinson plays. Big guy, really long arms, big wingspan, very powerful. It is clear watching him that he needs some refinement. He seems to be like, he's always like he's almost always the last guy off moving. You know, on his defensive line, it's almost like he's always the last guy moving. He also has this bad false step thing where he'll take a real short, choppy step and then get it going. And I think that, you know, the reality is that he's probably not. There's some coaching where I think that some of the things where you see flaws with him get coached out of him immediately. And he's a high level defensive end prospect. He is. There's Will Anderson, who I mentioned earlier. I will openly tell you, I do not care for his game as much as others do, to the point where it has me a touch concerned about his game overall. Not to the point where, you know, there's any issues with taking him at six. It's just, I guess, and, you know, just the best way to put it is I don't see the crazy upside that other people do with him. With him, I see more a speed to power kind of bull rush only guy. I don't see him forcing offensive tackles to abandon their plan with his speed and quickness around the corner. I see him as more wanting to run through them and then work inside. So that's kind of what it is. But at six, you know, it makes some sense, and you know, nobody's going to really argue with it. There's the last player at the edge position is Adebowale from Northwestern. He's had an incredible draft process from the Senior Bowl to the Combine and all. You know, I want to say I don't know exactly what he ran in the 40, but it doesn't matter all that much. His measurables were crazy at 282 pounds. I think he does a lot of he would do a lot of things and give you a lot of versatility on your defensive line, and perhaps open the door for the other players that are already here to have an easier job. He's a very interesting player. Talking about pick 18. The first two, Wilson and Anderson, are more pick six players. Then there's the defensive tackle position. Jalen Carter, everybody knows the story. You know, how rough the things looked at his pro day and what happened at the combine and all these things. It's an interesting thought. Do we dismiss the film and what his game looks like for a bad few months? And the reality is this, is that if he has good football character and works as a football player, I trust the Lions and Brad Holmes and their scouting staff to figure that out. And if the answer is yes to that, I think he's still on their board at six. He just is. I mean, I think at this point in time, there's a discussion about the Lions and character and all these things. But the reality, to me, is it's more about football character. It's more about, are you willing to work on your, on the things you need to do to be the best football player you can be? And the beauty of what Brad Holmes and company has done is they've given us, they've allowed us to trust them to get to the right answer. So specific to Carter, if Carter's a fit from a football standpoint, they will figure that out. And if he's not, they will also figure that out. And if he's not, they're not going to take him. But the reality is they wouldn't have taken him before he had a bad workout and before the other stuff went down. So that's the beauty in where the Lions franchise is that we trust the decision makers and the scouts and the staff to figure these things out, where you don't necessarily have to worry about it so much. If they take Jalen Carter, it's because they've bought in fully into what he is as a football player and into what his football character is. And if they don't, it's because they haven't bought in. The other player is an undersized player from Pittsburgh. I love his game. It's Kalijah Kancey. There are going to be times when you probably need to I don't want to say take him off the field in running situations, but he's not perfect as a run defender, but as a pass rusher on the interior, he's a nightmare. He is like super slippery. His twitch and his ability to move laterally into gaps is just ridiculous. There are times when Pittsburgh has him lined up as a nose tackle, and they will stunt him around all the way around the tackle, and he'll loop in around there and sack the quarterback, and it's just crazy to see it. So I'm, you know, as a pass rushing interior defender, very impressive. And then it's the corners and one safety, Brian Branch. Brian Branch is a really good football player. There is a video I did, the cornerback video, where he's included in there in part one. He's an elite, close to the line of scrimmage safety, kind of slot safety, sort of, if you want to describe that. He's a little bit like the way I think they're going to play Gardner Johnson. And then there's Joey Porter Jr. There's Devin Witherspoon, and then Maryland's Deontay Banks. Those are the options at corner. And I still think, even with all the moves that they made, again, like I said, they're not blocked. So you still, you know, the Lions could address any of those positions with the multiple picks that they have, and it wouldn't surprise me. And that's kind of the wonder of where we are, is they're a much better team today than they were at the end of the season. At the end of the season, they were a pretty solid football team. You're now going into the process with multiple early picks where, you know, are you looking at, you know, the winning window being now? And if it's now, how do you go about getting help at positions where you need help right now? Are you looking at it from a developmental standpoint and drafting a quarterback who's going to sit for a year? I'll sum this up this way. Those are the positions I think that are in play. I know it's a big list. They've done a really good job of improving their team while keeping their options open just about everywhere. But it's just, I'm going to ask a question, and it's this. It's with Jared Goff as your quarterback and no other quarterback signed, does it seem smart, or does it seem something that Brad Holmes would do to not address the quarterback position? And what happens to this team if they are in this winning window, if you don't address the position with a veteran quarterback, and you do it with a quarterback who may not be ready yet, as opposed to not doing it and losing games because you didn't find a reliable backup? Now, I'm not saying go sign Teddy Bridgewater or Carson Wentz or any of those kinds of things, because I don't think that makes, you know, I'm not sure that makes a ton of difference, but I'm just expressing it as a question for everybody to answer for themselves, is do we think the Lions are going to ignore the quarterback position to their own detriment? If Jared Goff goes down for 8 to 10 games, whatever it is, six weeks, do you just accept losing those games, or do you go out and potentially get yourself a veteran who you know can play while developing a younger player? And my guess is they have to do both of those things. So I'm just, you know, the idea that they resolve the quarterback room and fix it by drafting one early and doing nothing else is, I don't think it's something that they would do. These are smart people. Let's say they do draft Hendon Hooker at 18. Hendon Hooker is not going to be ready, right? So he needs a red shirt year. I don't think the Lions are just going to settle, because they are in that winning window. I don't think they're just going to settle for, you know, insert backup quarterback clipboard holder and lose a bunch of games. So that's kind of where it is. So we'll see what happens. You know, that's still one of the, it's, you know, it's one of the positions that's been unaddressed, And it'll be very interesting to see how they do address it going forward. That's kind of your post free. Well, we're in the middle of free agency, but that's the kind of update at this point from a draft standpoint. Lions fans should be excited. They're in a good place. It's a good place to be, and it's really impressive what they've done so far. We'll catch you guys soon. Have a great week.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Woo! Let's go, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions! You've had enough of that shit.